So now let's get to this wonderful interview with Barbara Borison. So Barbara Borison is joining us on this edition of The Marvin Bird Show. She is the author of Autism Spectrum Disorder in the Inclusive Classroom, How to Reach and Teach Students with ASD. She's also written numerous articles, which is how I found her, and she's also a keynote speaker. And let me share with you something that someone wrote about her after listening to her. She said that it was very helpful to collaborate and brainstorm with colleagues and to learn from Barbara's various perspectives. I especially enjoyed hearing her perspective as a parent, happy to have gathered helpful new strategies to use with my current and future students. Barbara, how are you today?
I'm great, Marvin. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
And thank you for inviting me to join you.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things, because we're going to get into some tips that you have given to teachers throughout your past, throughout your career and working with teachers and helping them assist students with autism. But before we get into that, one of the things that I ask guests on the show is to share your why. Why do you do what you do as it relates to education and helping students specifically with autism? So what is your why, please?
What is my why? Why is my what? Well, I guess I've always been interested in working with kids in one capacity or another. And so I became a social worker, and I worked as a clinical and administrative social worker for almost 30 years now. And in that time, I found myself working with a lot of students on the autism spectrum at school, in both mainstream schools and in special ed schools. And that was great, and I really, really enjoyed that. I was fascinated by kids who have autism. But then, quite a few years after that, I went on to have my own child on the autism spectrum. So there's my real why, I guess. And that was a real eye-opener for me, you know, because now I'm comfortable on both sides of the table in the special ed office. Mm-hmm. So lucky me.
Yes.
But really, also seriously, though, it also kind of cracked my mind and my heart wide open and really deepened and broadened my understanding of autism. And then a few years back, Scholastic contacted me and asked me to write a book about autism for teachers. Mm. And in all honesty, that was not something that had been on my radar or something I was thinking about doing. But, you know, when like Scholastic literally calls you and asks you to write a book for them, you don't say, oh,
yeah,
write a book. You don't say, let me see what else I got going on. So as I got to writing it, I realized right away that any teacher who would be driven to pick up a book like this about autism for teachers would probably be feeling pretty overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So I really set out to write a book that would be practical and informative, but also really friendly and engaging and accessible and reassuring and even funny sometimes. So that book has been really successful. It came out a while back, and then I updated it a couple of years ago,
right,
and we brought out a second edition, which is the one that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And that edition really reflects all that has changed in the landscape of autism diagnosis and intervention, because that landscape is constantly evolving.
Interesting. That's interesting to know.
So part of that, I think it is interesting, and I think more and more people are finding it interesting too as awareness is going up. And part of that evolution that's been happening is that students on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum, are being included in general education classrooms
mm-hmm.
far more than ever before. So, you know, I bring my professional development workshops to schools and districts all over the country, and what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing over and over is that general educators are really drowning.
Right.
So most of my professional development work, like my book, is geared toward general educators, not special educators, which is a little different from most books on the subject and most professional development, because, you know, what I'm finding is that general educators they have almost no training or experience with autism. And in this inclusive era that we're living in, general educators are finding that students with autism are being placed
yes.
in their classroom.
We know what you mean.
And they really don't know what to do with them.
Right.
So I think that what I do when I go into schools is a little bit different from what other people are doing, partly because of my combined personal and professional involvement with autism. because that, you know, that dual perspective that I have as both an educator and a parent, it really infuses my workshops, I think. And I think it helps me create or evoke a more holistic picture of kids who have autism. And I have a lot of ideas about how to connect not only with the students, but also with their parents and their caregivers.
So that's really interesting, because I want to go back to, because you said you had that dual perspective in, you know, in working previously with students who had autism, but then you had a child, so it became a little bit more personal. So can you,
it sure did.
Can you elaborate just a little bit more, just that feeling and what changed within you? Can you put that into words? Because I think that is a very interesting perspective that you have.
That's a good question. What changed within me? As educators, I think, educators, I think, are really focused on the academic challenges, sort of the acute, immediate challenges of getting a student through the day in school and getting the day's curriculum in,
mm-hmm.
you know, the academic challenges. Whereas, and that's really the main focus at school, but
right.
it's not necessarily a holistic focus. And parents and caregivers are coping really more with a more chronic, less acute maybe, but more of a chronic settling in or adapting, I should say, to challenges that are profound and everlasting, really, and emotional, and also deeply practical too. You know, it is a matter of just getting through the day or even the minute. It's much. I'll tell you something. You know, when I was young and single and working as a social worker and I had no children of my own, I actually thought autism was fascinating, really fascinating. As a parent, I would not use that word anymore. it's really, it's certainly interesting, but interesting is like, would be a polite word. You know what I mean? It's
right.
more, it's real. It's really rough. It's really, really difficult.
I can only imagine.
Not just from the practical perspective, but from the emotional perspective. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's really a struggle in a lot of different ways for parents and caregivers. And I dare say a lot of educators don't necessarily They may understand that on an intellectual level, but they may not really connect with that. So a lot of the work that I do, in addition to supporting teachers with how to get academics in and how to adapt their classrooms or how to reach these kids at school, I really also talk a lot about the parent or caregiver journey, and where the parents and caregivers may be coming from mm-hmm. when they make seemingly unrealistic requests of teachers or have seemingly unrealistic expectations. And why is that? And where are they coming from? And how can teachers deal with that?
Right.
In a way that, you know, that supports our mutual ultimate goal, which is the best outcome for the kids.
Absolutely.
Which is what we have in common. Yeah.
And I really do appreciate that perspective that you bring and the way you're able to put that into words, because it sounds like you can really help and understand how to bridge that gap between teacher and parent, because it takes that understanding of what the parent is asking for, because they are, as you said, they're looking at that holistic approach. They want the child to be educated, but they also want, you know, social, emotional. They want all of that, because that's their baby, and so that's
right.
Yes, yeah,
so. and they've learned, they've learned just by default or de facto, really, that they're, so as you said, baby needs a lot more care and protection in the world and from the world mm-hmm. than typical children. And so these parents, when they bring their kids to school, they may seem, you know, more anxious, more worried mm-hmm. than other parents.
Right.
And teachers and other professionals have lots of words for parents like that. I try to characterize that a little differently and help mm-hmm. help educators understand why these parents and caregivers are carrying around a lot more worry, and that they have good reason. But at this, by the same token, I also work with parents to help them understand that educators can't do all the things that the parents want them to do, because school is a different context, and school is really to help prepare our children for the real world in which they're all going to have to function to some extent someday, mm-hmm. to the best extent that they can. And so they need to be stretched and challenged a little bit at school. And that may mean, pushing them ever so slightly with lots of support outside their comfort zones.
All
and
right.
that, and, you know, parents and caregivers have learned the hard way that that can be a really rough go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real coming together. It's a real coming together, and it takes work. It's not going to just fall into place. It doesn't, or I should say, it doesn't seem to fall into place very readily. And it takes some work on both parts. And so that's definitely a niche that I found where I really work to bring those parties together, as I said, in the best interest of the children that we share.
Wow. There's just so much value in what you bring to the table, because that is it's an important conversation to have, and it's an important gap to fill in between teacher and parent. So let's get into some tips, because you mentioned earlier that more and more we're seeing students on the spectrum there being placed in the gen ed setting. And we've got general education teachers. They need tools in order to service those students. So
yes.
Would you?
Yes, and if I could just add to that, if
yes.
you don't mind, that it's not just the general education teachers, I think, who need those tools. It's, you know, I think that these days in this inclusive era, as I said, I really believe that everyone in the school community needs to be on board
okay.
with and understand about inclusion, so that these students will meet, will be greeted with a knowledgeable and inclusive mindset everywhere they go. So in my work, I focus not only on classroom teachers, but also classroom paraprofessionals and art and music teachers and PE teachers and coaches and school librarians and security guards and
wow.
custodians, cafeteria workers, recess aides, bus drivers and bus monitors, and administrators too.
Oh, wow.
But really, these students are coming in contact with all of these people.
That is true. That is true.
And in many cases, they're coming into contact with them during difficult times of day. Like the custodian may show up when there's been a spill or someone has gotten sick, and those are stressful times. And that's when a student on the spectrum is likely to be at her worst.
Mm-hmm.
And the custodian, you know, it's really helpful when everybody knows what's going on and can treat these kids with some consistency and some understanding. So I just wanted to jump to add that too.
No, absolutely. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. And so now that we have that understanding, like everybody needs to be on board in order to serve the needs of these students.
Yeah.
So what are some tips that you can give us to help serve those students?
Well, I guess, you know, we don't have all day, so chat, even though I'd love to. So I'll try to offer a couple of general tips
okay.
that might be pretty broadly applicable for starters. One, and I know this is going to sound kind of paradoxical, but I'm going to suggest striving for teachers to strive for a combination of both extreme structure and extreme flexibility.
Interesting.
And I'll tell you what I mean.
Yes, please.
You're having students on the spectrum in a classroom brings all kinds of like really cool new perspectives and quirky kinds of intelligence. And it opens up lots of new dimensions of diversity and acceptance for typical students. But, you know, keeping it real here, it also brings a whole host of new challenges for the teachers.
Right.
So the thing is that these students on the spectrum, they crave structure more than anything else. They need structure that they can see and feel and touch and manipulate and rely on without fail.
Okay.
Especially in the form of a visual schedule that helps them to actually see and understand what's coming up in their day. And they usually do best when they know exactly what to expect and when they can count on their teacher to follow through on it.
Okay.
So in order to put down their anxiety, they need a schedule they can really understand, and they need to know that their teacher is sticking to it. So the more structure that's provided in the classroom, the more relaxed these students can be, so they can settle into a more effective and functional state of being. But here's the paradoxical part. In order to provide that kind of clearly structured and comprehensible environment, I found that teachers really have to use themselves in flexible ways. So to create the structure that they need, that the students need, the teachers in a sense, need to be more flexible. They need to think seriously outside the box.
Okay.
And find ways to adapt their classroom and some of their teaching styles to accommodate all of the cognitive and communicative and sensory and social and engagement challenges that these students are struggling with. And part of that flexibility means creating a highly structured visual schedule. It may also mean creating a sensory space in the classroom. It may mean changing up the feeding plan or introducing more interactive learning strategies or multisensory learning strategies and more graphic organizers and exploring creative options for for really communicating information, for assimilation of information and demonstration of information or demonstration of learning for these students who learn and think and process differently than other students.
Interesting.
The good news, I think, I mean, I know that may sound kind of overwhelming, but the good news is that these days, since inclusion is such a big movement now, teachers don't have to invent these alternative ways of teaching.
Right.
There are, there's not only one book, there's lots of books out there, and hopefully there are special educators and occupational therapists and speech therapists on hand who can help. And even if not, there's always me. I have lots of strategies.
Absolutely,
too,
so. Absolutely. And then I want to cut in really quickly here for the structure. And it's this. It sounds like a lot of students. Well, maybe all students can benefit from this. So I find that very fascinating. In that it seems that, well, no, it is possible for the general education teacher or whoever in the building, they can serve the needs of these students while also helping everyone else out with some of these strategies as well. That's what it's starting to seem like.
Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't benefit from inventive and fresh strategies and multisensory strategies and interaction? And absolutely. I think even though it brings a lot of challenges, I think it can freshen up the whole classroom environment.
And I think that change and that different approach, I think that's important, and that may perhaps would, I think it would help with engagement, because the students are kind of, their thinking is kind of challenged a little bit. It's not the same as what they're used to. It's a, like you said, it's a different approach. So I think that's very fascinating.
Definitely. Yeah, engagement is a biggie. It's a big challenge.
So what else do you have? So number one, we have strive for extreme structure and extreme flexibility. What other tips might be helpful?
Well, I think that one of the most lofty goals of inclusion, and probably the most important, is facilitating an environment in which all students can learn from each other. And that means that students on the spectrum are learning from their typical peers, and typical students are learning from students on the spectrum. But none of that will happen without active facilitation. The primary goal, the usual goal that people think of when they hear about inclusion, is the idea that students with special needs will benefit from being around positive peer models who demonstrate more pro-social behaviors. But I found that generally, that kind of learning seems to be expected to happen kind of by osmosis. Our special students are supposed to just absorb these positive social skills and behaviors just by being around them. But that kind of learning by osmosis, that social osmosis, really doesn't happen for students on the spectrum without teaching and prompting and debriefing and making really transparent for these students what went right and what went wrong in their interactions